joining us now on the line from our friends at WGR 550 in Buffalo, Sal Capaccio, Buffalo Bills sideline reporter. Sal, how are you?
Good. It feels like a lot of freaking money to me. That's what it feels like.
Ooh, all right. I like it, Sal. I like it. Well done. I live in the Niagara region, so I'm very familiar with Sabres and Leaf fans. How upset do people in Buffalo get when the Leafs come to town for those games?
Very upset because basically there's so many Leafs fans here, and I get it. I mean, it's a lot more expensive to go to a game in Toronto. You know, it's right across the border, and you know that's what happens. But it's also because the Sabres obviously have not been very good over the last several years. It's easier to get tickets, so it happens. It's funny actually, guys. I've met quite a few Toronto people from Toronto here for games not involving the Leafs because they say they just want to see hockey and they can't get a ticket to go see the Maple Leafs, so they come and see, you know, whoever it is, the Bruins or the Red Wings or whatever. It is interesting, but you know, one of these days, hopefully one of these years, it'll start to even out a little bit more, or at least I should say start to have less of the Maple Leaf blue inside of our building here.
Sal, I know the ownership there gets a lot of flack on the Sabre side of things, maybe not so much on what's going on with the Bills, and we'll talk about them in one sec, but the amount of money the Pagulas have put in and around the arena, it makes a big difference. And the hockey viewing experience at that arena is really good. And I don't think the ownership gets enough credit for that. Do you?
No, and that's because of the situation of them, their wins and losses, obviously. It's because of, you know, going through what they did to, you know, get to the bottom of the standings, basically, and how polarizing that was for so many people. And, you know, even though they did draft Jack Eichel, and, you know, the fact that they bought the team in 2011, people forget it's been 8 years since Terry and Kim Pegula bought the Buffalo Sabres, and then they bought the Bills, and they didn't go to the playoffs with them until a few years later. So really, it's just been a lot of losing, and I think that clouds really all the really good things they've done. But, you know, I've always looked at it this way, even growing up and now covering sports and living here, watching, you know, from afar anywhere else. I've always said that the one thing a fan should want from any owner is just to give the resources to try and field a winner. And that's what they do. That's what they do. And they've made mistakes. They've hired wrong people. They've given out bad contracts. The one thing that you could never, ever criticize them for is giving the resources to whoever needs the resources to try and build it. And then on the outside of that, yeah, the facilities. I mean, look what they just did here at Orchard Park for the facilities for the Bills, an $18 million training center, which is truly state-of-the-art. And every player says it's pretty much the best in the NFL. And now we have a huge possible renovation also going on in the next couple of years down at KeyBank Center. So, yeah, they've definitely done that.
Sal, Josh Allen was easily the most polarizing, I guess, prospect coming out of the draft last year. Everybody thought the Bills reached on him, and there were ups and downs last year. I'm a huge Bills fan. We've spoken before about this, but I see the improvements in Josh's game. He's so poised, and he has played six great quarters, and even the first two quarters of the season against the Jets, the four turnovers, I don't know how much blame he deserves for those, but what has been the biggest reason for his improvement this year?
I really think it's his ability to be coached, his willingness to be coached, and what they've asked him to do and given him ownership of this offense. They have not insulated him. They have not babied him. They basically said, you are our franchise quarterback. We drafted you seventh overall, and you're going to have to take ownership of this offense. And he has dug in, and there was never a question about his ability, by the way, to do that. But you've seen it, and we've seen it. And it's really been evident since the first day of OTAs and minicamp. And really, it's about taking the easy money, taking what the defense is giving him, not trying to go for the home run ball and things like that. The fact that they've been trying to hammer that into his head since the start of the offseason, and now he's doing that, really, I think, has opened up a lot more avenues for him on the offensive side. And look, we've all heard about the accuracy stuff. He's never been pinpoint accurate, but he's fine enough so far for two games. He's middle of the pack right now in the NFL in completion percentage. But I would say he's even much more, quote unquote, accurate than that. There's been some drops and things like that, some batted balls, obviously. I know all quarterbacks go through those things, but I think Josh Allen's made a huge improvement in that area. But I think it's mostly because he's really a very coachable young man, and he's taken to what they've coached him to do.
According to Pro Football Focus, I think his adjusted completion percentage was something like 83%, something crazy. And that ranks among the best quarterbacks in the league. I think it was top five. And the additions of John Brown and Cole Beasley have to play into this improvement as well, don't they?
No doubt about it. And look, I think when they signed John Brown, the whole thing that people thought about him was, vertical threat. This guy's going to run over the top of you. And yeah, he can do that. But the first day of training camp, guys, it was very evident that John Brown is much more than that. He is a very good route runner. He's very smooth in and out of breaks. He runs like he's a slot receiver in a lot of ways, but he plays on the outside because he also has that speed. But he runs really good routes, and he's been great for Josh Allen so far. He's 10th in the league in receiving yards after 2 weeks, and Josh and him developed nice chemistry. And then you have Cole Beasley, of course. And the thing about Cole Beasley is he has said from day one that he loves being in this offense because Brian Daboll has given him the freedom to do what he needs to do. And Josh and him have a very good way about reading body language, knowing where he's going to be, sight adjust routes, things like that. So that's definitely been a help. And I think those two tight ends that the Bills drafted, the two young kids, have been a very nice addition for them. And, you know, they're doing it without Tyler Croft right now. They're going to add him hopefully in the next week or two if he can come back from an injury. He hasn't been available, but maybe this week even against his former team. And that's obviously helped him as well. So certainly they've upgraded the receiving core. But maybe more than anything, the offensive line and the time they're giving Josh Allen has helped as well.
Sal Capaccio from WGR 550 is a Buffalo Bills sideline reporter joining us here on Sportsnet tonight. That's Matt. I'm George along the Sportsnet radio network. The Bills impressively 2-0 after starting both games on the road. And that's a team that, Sal, I thought potentially the Bills, that could be a wild card team if things break their way in the AFC. How tough is it right now in Buffalo to maybe curb some of those expectations based on the level of competition? We see the Jets are stinking up the joint right now against the Cleveland Browns, and the Giants are a team clearly that are near the bottom of the league as well. When is the game? Obviously, it's not this week against Cincinnati. How important is that game ahead in week four against the Patriots?
Well, it will be monster if the Bills win this week. I mean, you said it, though. I mean, curb your enthusiasm a little bit. This is the first time in franchise history that they're going to have a home opener at 2-0, and they've never opened up with two wins on the road. Now, granted, the schedule usually doesn't give you two games on the road to start, but even when they've ever had it, they haven't won those two games. It's the first time that's ever going to happen. You think about what New Era Field is going to be like on Sunday with the Cincinnati Bengals coming to town. People are just absolutely buying in right now to what this team could do. And yes, suddenly there's some more doors open in the AFC, right, with Ben Roethlisberger's injury, with what's going on with the New York Jets. We see that. But look, I mean, we know the Jets and the Giants aren't world beaters right now, but guys, look at the teams that are 2-0. And who did the Ravens beat? Well, they beat the Dolphins and the Cardinals, right? I mean, the Patriots, of course, beat the Steelers, and that was how good are the Steelers? We don't know. And then they beat the Dolphins. So the teams that are 2-0, I don't know how much of a read you can get on them. All you can do is beat the teams on your schedule. All you can do is play who's in front of you. The Bills went on the road, and what I loved is they won two games in two completely different ways. One, they had to come back and win when the chips were down, and the other, they got out in front and they had to hold the lead, and they did that. So I think they've really kind of checked some boxes in that area, and now they get a chance to do it at home in front of their home fans.
Sal, this Bills team doesn't get a lot of credit from national media, and for whatever reason, that's fine. I guess they don't watch the team that much. But when you look at this defense and the maturity of guys like Tre'Davious White, Matt Milano, Tremaine Edmonds, these are guys that are playing, you know, wise beyond their years, and their ability is beyond crazy. People don't understand how good this defense is. If this defense can continue to play the way they do, do you think that the offense is good enough that this team could get to, you know, 9-10 wins?
From what I've seen for the first 2 weeks, absolutely. They have to maintain that level of consistency on offense. They're going to have to continue to evolve and take what the defense gives them, take their shots when they're available. You know, they don't have an Antonio Brown on offense. They don't have a Julio Jones on offense. John Brown is a very good player. So is Cole Beasley. They have a nice offensive line. I think Devin Singletary has a chance to be really, really good from what we've seen from him. But, you know, it's still a young quarterback who still has to get a little bit of hero ball out of him and take what the defense gives him and let that defense on the other side for the Bills, you know, put him in good positions to win the game and then see how the rest of the game plays out. On the defensive side, though, guys, you got to think about this. This is a number two defense in the league last year, number one against the pass. They're already off to a great start. And everybody, except for Shaq Lawson, is still under contract next year, after this year. The only one that, Lorenzo Alexander is the only other one, but he might not even play because he said that he might be only one more year. But you get the point. I mean, this is a young defense that's pretty much locked up at least for another year, and even in most cases beyond that. They have a chance to really string together something special and be a foundation here for this team as they add parts of that offense, as they evolve an offense. From what I've seen so far, middle-of-the-pack offense is going to be plenty enough for this team to get a chance to get to 9 or 10 wins.
Sal, how much longer does, and I know Devin Singletary's banged up now, he's day-to-day, but how much longer is Frank Gore the lead back on this team? I know they love his veteran savvy, and I know he got a lot of the snaps yesterday, but Devin Singletary, Sal, seems so explosive. It's like he's going to hit a home run every time he touches the ball. How much is Frank Gore going to be the lead back this season for this team? When does Singletary take that number one role over?
It's a good question. It will happen at some point. I don't know. You know, look, you have to understand the way Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have built their team so far through 3 years and how they, forgive this, trust their own process, right? I mean, that's what they say, and that's what it is. It's a process with them. They don't want to put the rookie out there and put so much on his plate and just have him be the number one guy, and, you know, all of a sudden you burn him out, and as a rookie you get to November and he's hit a wall. You know, they have a process in place for him, and in the meantime they have Frank Gore. And look, they're winning games, and you know, Frank Gore is not Devin Singletary, but he can still run hard. He was the finisher yesterday after Devin Singletary went out. At some point, Devin Singletary is going to be the number one back. People will be surprised to know this. Devin Singletary has actually been on the field for more snaps than any running back on the team. They just haven't had him the ball that much. They've given it more to Frank Gore. But he was actually on the field for the first 18 plays of that first game when the Bills threw the ball. So he has been playing a lot. But Frank Gore, his veteran leadership, his ability to catch the ball, his ability to pick up blitzes, keeping two hands on the ball in critical situations, those things matter. But I also think it's a lot about bringing Devin Singletary along and making sure they're not putting so much on him early and understanding he's a young player. It's a early part of the season as a rookie. And, you know, he's got a whole career in front of him as well.
Sal, what have you made of ninth overall pick Ed Oliver's season so far? He's a guy that came in with big expectations, and for good reason. He was a very good player in college. But how have you seen him through the first two games?
Boy, he is such a good ball get off. You know, he just gets right off the ball and is disruptive when he can get into the lineman and use his speed, because that's really what his game is. He still, if he gets double teamed a little bit sometimes going against those NFL linemen, that's a tough deal for him. But he's done a very nice job against that, I think, his first two games. And then he had that batted pass that Trent Murphy wound up intercepting yesterday from Eli Manning. I really like what I've seen from Ed Oliver. And again, young player, rookie. He's been on the field more than I expected so far through two games. He pretty much has been on the field about 65% of the snaps so far through two games. And even in a Sean McDermott defense, they love to rotate the defensive lineman. He has been on the field a lot because they know what he brings. And he really provides that interior pass rush that they've kind of missed over the last few years, giving a guy like Jerry Hughes or a guy like Trent Murphy a chance to get to the quarterback because he can't step up in the pocket. So I really like what Adam Oliver's brought, and you know, I think he's going to be a very good player in this league for a long time.
Sal, if the Bills, and let's play this game, if the Bills squeeze into the playoffs into a wild card spot, how serious do you think it would be that Sean McDermott will win Coach of the Year?
Well, I tell you, he would certainly be in the conversation. I think it would depend on who else is in there, what other teams do, obviously. But given the fact that this team's over-under in Vegas even was only 7, I think maybe 6.5, whatever it wound up being, yep, you know, they were able to get to 9-10 wins and get in the playoffs, he certainly would get votes. He would get consideration. And look, guys, I think he is a good coach, and I think he's done a very good job. But I think it's really all about the organization and what they've laid for the foundation and how him and Brandon Bean have work together. I've been here through, what, 4 regimes now, basically, and it's just different with these guys. They're on the same page. You don't always get that. You don't see that. We haven't seen that in Buffalo. Quite frankly, what we've seen in Buffalo is what we see with the Jets kind of going on right now. They kind of remind me of the Bills and, you know, all the turnover and different things that have happened. So, and then on top of that, 3 years in now, Sean McDermott finally, I think, has his staff in place. You know, people don't realize when he was hired, he didn't have an ability really to hire a lot of the coaches he wanted around the league. He got Rick Dennison in. He wasn't a very good offensive coordinator, but he was kind of limited in who he could hire. He's 3 years in now. He's got the guys he wants on his staff. Leslie Frazier has been with him for 3 years. Brian Daboll for 2 years. That matters a lot. I love this coaching staff and the way they approach things, and I think they've done a very good job, but it all starts just with the in-sync front office, general manager, head coach, and how they're building this team.
So nobody misses Dick Duron?
Skeletor.
I would say nobody misses Dick Duron.
All right.
Certainly we do not miss the Rex Ryan, let's always have some sort of funny headline and show everybody that we're doing things instead of football stuff. I mean, really, that's what it became. It became a sideshow, you know, with Rex Ryan. It became Doug Whaley, Rex Ryan yelling at each other, and Doug Marone yelling and, you know, all that stuff that went, I mean, you name it. I mean, it was about things other than football for too long. Well, guess what? It's finally about football in Buffalo, and I think they're doing it right.
Sal Capaccio, Buffalo Bills beat reporter and sideline reporter for WGR 550. Sal, this is always fun. Thanks for doing this. Enjoy the season.
All right, anytime, guys. Thank you.